that's why I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk down, I know is in His plan. I put my life in His hands. And my Father knows what I need. My Father knows what I need. So everything I go through, He knows what's best for me. 'Cause He's got it all in control. Sing, He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
His power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling.
There is power.
chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. 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 Let's turn to number 247 in the spiral book.
Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
change the order of service now as your brother comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Yes, you're holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
We can see more of him now because there are all of them up here, all but just a few. So, looks good. Looks good up here. Got everybody up here and worshiping the Lord. I see your smiling eyes. Can't see your smiling face, but I see your smiling eyes. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here. Good to have, Brother Michael does a good job, doesn't he?
Amen.
When I was his age, I was doing things that I ain't gonna tell you what I was doing. So that just is a testimony right there.
Amen.
That God can use a young person. We're going to do some drawing today. If that's all right with y'all.
Amen.
That okay? We'll do a little, Don, let's see if we can get that on here. We hadn't used this in a while. I had all the Daniel 70 week stuff on here. I had to erase it. It had already dried and it was almost written in stone. I had to get it off with the cleaner. So, is that where y'all can see that? Can you see that? Mike, can you see it back here? Okay. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. By way of announcements, we're going to get in a hurry because I got a lot to cover today. That's all right. February the 14th, I'll be at Brother Richard Hyatt's, which will not be this coming weekend, but it'll be the next weekend. And then April the 4th, I'll be at Brother Chris Long's to do his Easter service. June the 17th through the 19th, remember, is our Father's Day fishing weekend up at Helen, where we were last year. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, come back on Saturday afternoon. Anybody, gentlemen, anybody's invited. If you want to take off and come with us.
Right.
You don't have to be a father. You can be a father in the gospel. Amen. And help others out. But plan on being there. We'll have food. And it's a good place to stay and just kind of relax for a few days. So we had a good time last year. And Brother Chris Long will probably be with us that weekend along with his son, Brother Ronnie Long. So they're coming that weekend with us and probably be speaking for us on that Sunday. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Remember the banquet, servers that are here, be there at 4 o'clock also, right? So we got seven of our young people serving, so we thank the Lord that we've got some young people that are able to help and that we really enjoy having them. They just need to realize they need to forget everything they see because what goes on there don't leave there. Okay. We don't do anything bad. We just become husband and wife and we have fun. Amen. We're blessed to have a church that stands behind it and have a pastor that believes in we need to get together as couples. And then I hope we can start getting the youth back together. And like Brother Dale said, at least I'd like to get the Sunday school back for the little kids because they need it. And the little kids are a little less susceptible than we are for this, whatever you want to call it, virus. So, we just be diligent. Everybody remember, do what we say, wear a mask. And then fellowship downstairs with the home. I think we're all pretty much 100% of us is doing it. So, we appreciate that. Now I want to today, we're speaking on eternal redemption. I've been thinking this week, I've got several things laid out here and some more quotes over there and I added one. So you know how that goes. But before we get into our chart that's most of you have and we'll bring it up here. We need to cover something because listen, we know as well as anybody in the world that the Bible is like an onion peel. It's real thin layers and you can just keep pulling the layers back because it's eternal, right? And then we have a prophet of God that came to make that more plain. Amen? Make that more plain, not confusing. Make that more plain. And he was a what? A Bible prophet. This is going to be real important in a few minutes because if you don't say yeah, then you're going to be in trouble. He was a word prophet. He could say nothing outside of what the word said. He didn't bring his own Bible. He didn't make his own revelation. But now I'll tell you what though, you got to remember. The prophet of God tells us, and that's the way I read my Bible as a love letter. You've heard me many times tell you that if you don't get the essence of this message and the essence of this Bible, you're going to miss it. Because if I've got quotes sitting right in there that eternal life came at the altar. I've got quotes right here that eternal life was before the foundation of the world. Brother Brown's not that confused. We are the ones that are confused. He's not. He was showing us something, but you're going to have to onion peel this thing. And see when he's talking about the mind of God and when he's talking about down here, because verily, verily, I say unto you, this ain't the perfect will of God. This is the permissive will of God. Working into the perfect will of God. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because listen, close your eyes just for a second. Everybody close their eyes. You got 30 seconds to think about your life from a baby to right now, and when you open your eyes, I want you to raise your hand if you've never had a bad thought, never said anything bad about somebody, never done something wrong. You can go ahead and open your eyes now because you better not put your hand up because that makes you a liar. Brother Chris has got his hand down this way. He said he was down there. So now, did anybody come here? Perfect. No. By the transforming power of God, we become perfect. But not in this. But remember, the mind of God can't change. Everybody got that? Mind of God can't change. He can't say, well, you know, I thought of Samuel Dale, but now when he got down here, he started just being a rascal, a dog, and I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. No. What have we been reading about? This is before the foundation of the world. Right. This thing was done, settled, signed, and delivered. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So why does the prophet say that your eternal life began at the altar? I got the quote right here. Life begins at the altar. Eternal life when you come to Jesus Christ. Then I got one right here from the Smyrna Church Age that says you did not become seed by the rebirth. You were seed and therefore were reborn. There's your difference. You were reborn. There has to be an action. Amen. Or Jesus could have looked at Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, you always was eternal. You just one of us. No, he wasn't. He wasn't in the eternal mind of God because he never became a seed of God. Right. Now, he'll be given eternal life. But that's not seed of God. Right. And remember, when I talk about seed today, I'm going to write it right up here in the corner. What is seed? Seed's not what you plant in the ground, talking about God. Seed is the Word. God has no natural germ, sperm, no seed as far as we see, because I know when some of you, when somebody preaches on seed, that's the first thing you think about. It's planting something. God didn't have to plant one thing in the Garden of Eden. It was there because of what? Spoken Word of God. I like what Brother Chris said. He said, you know, the first action wasn't the creation. God said. God said. The first thing was the spoken word, and then the creation happened. So in Genesis 1:26, when he said, let us make man in our own image, there we were. But it wasn't every seed that come on the face of the earth. It was only the seed of God. The Word of God. We were in Him before the foundation of the world. But the problem is, like we're going to look on our timeline, something happened and pushed us down here into time. But it's working us because redemption means what? To bring back or purchase back. We'll read that in just a second. So put those things in your mind and come to me and tell me you were born right. And I'll tell you you're a liar. According to the Bible. Nothing good. Nothing. You are born wrong. You come to this world lying, stealing, contrary to God. But now that didn't change the mind of God. Didn't change that none one bit. Didn't change the mind of God one bit. You always were there. If you were there, you'll always be there. He can't add you to it, but He can't take you away from it either. Amen? So Hebrews 9 verse 11. Because we're going to have to cover that, because when we read the prophet's message and we see these things that people say seems to be contrary, or you know, somebody will just bring you a quote and go here. No, bring me the whole picture.
That's right.
I can pick this message apart with one quote at a time.
Right.
This Bible today is being picked apart one verse at a time by contrary preaching out there. And even here, if you say. So Hebrews 9:11 says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. That's what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Lord, you know we've been thinking about this for days. Running it over in our mind and seems like this is the way to go, Lord, that we were looking at last night. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint our lips. You do the speaking. I know for a fact the prophet of God stood here and brought us the perfect Word of God, yet people turned him down. So you're the only one that can do the revealing. You're the only one that can go way down into that soul of that individual. And change us, Lord. And make us right. And Lord, for us to be in this end time, you require that we come to adoption, that we come to full headship. So you've made a way, Lord. You promised you'd do it. You said you'd do it. And you said through the foolishness of preaching, this is the way it's going to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, keep us, take care of us. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. The ones that are on the highways, Brother Bob and them on the way back, Lord, there from Sweetwater and Brother Luis and them down in Atlanta, Lord, we pray that you'd bring them back together in one. Father, in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. So see, he had to obtain something. He didn't come here eternal in his body. Hello?
Amen.
He didn't come here eternal in his body.
Right.
But yet he came eternal from God. He was God. No less God, no more God.
Right.
But you and I didn't come the way He came.
Right.
We can't be the fullness as one person. But as a collective body, we can be one.
Right.
Amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then in the end time, the bride must be the fullness. So now let's look at the Greek lexicon and see what it says about redemption. We've been talking about eternal redemption, and I didn't bring this last week. But look, redemption means what? Deliverance.
Right.
a releasing effected by payment. Because remember, there had to be a payment. Boaz had to stand up and take his shoe off and say, I will, because there's no way Naomi could do that.
Right.
She was caught. She was trapped. Amen?
Right.
Somebody had to stand forth. A kinsman had to redeem. And what did he say? He didn't say, I'll take all the Ruth stuff or Naomi stuff and I'm going to keep it for myself. No, he redeemed it for her.
Right.
He gave it to her. So Christ came. Remember I told you before, this brings out the outstanding quote where the prophet of God said, Jesus didn't come to bring you your inheritance.
Right. Right.
He came to bring you to your inheritance. So there's the redemption. That's why eternal redemption, that's why Brother Brown tells us it's one of the oldest things in the book of the Bible. Redemption was before the foundation of the world.
Right.
It's not just something that just developed. But you don't thank God for a prophet, though, that could... See, I don't think any other prophet, maybe Paul was close, but I was thinking about this the other day. There's no other prophet of God that could take the mind of God and bring it so vivid that we can understand it. Because
right.
It's way back here, way back in eternity, way back there. No way you can understand this guy.
Right.
We understood who Jesus was, kind of. Second person of the Trinity, whatever, whatever. You understand what I mean before we came to the message? But it took a prophet to take us back here
right.
and tell us where we came from, right. what we're doing here, and where we're going. Most everybody else, talk about denominations and different, well, they can tell you where we're going, but they don't have a real good idea about where we're going.
Right.
We got to go through tribulation. We got to go to this. We got to go to purgatory. We got to go this place. We got to go that place. You see what I mean? Prophet of God said, no, no such thing as purgatory. Hell is not burning at the moment. It's the fifth dimension. It's where you go. We understand that. We're going to look at the dimensions maybe in a couple of Sundays. But remember, Brother Branham gives us a real good definition of redemption. He says to bring it back or to bring back. Right? You had to put something. You got in trouble. You had to put something in the pawn shop. But now remember, you got to have something to purchase it, to get it back. You can't just go back and say, hey, I want my stuff back. No, you got to pay a price.
Right.
Jesus Christ. But see, remember, we couldn't pay the price once we got in the pawn shop.
Right.
We couldn't pay the price. See, even when Adam sold us out, he got put in the pawn shop. But Adam couldn't bring himself back out.
Right.
He wasn't a savior. He wasn't the redeemer. He was a son of God. But he wasn't a redeemer. So any action he did kept him in the pawn shop.
Right.
And literally, let me tell you something. Literally, though, from Adam to Jesus Christ, everybody stayed in the pawn shop. Is that right? There was no redemption. There was no eternal life given in the soul of man in the Old Testament.
Right.
It stayed up there because remember, we're going to look in our timeline and I'm going to use, should I use blue for eternal or red for eternal? You choose. You said blue first. Don't be swayed by all them people back under. I ask you and they answered. I chose blue myself too. Thank you. Whoever said red, you're wrong. Okay. All right, this is eternal, or eternity, our God, or the mind of God. All right, everybody got that? Huh? All right, and here's the eternal line, and you're going to see it on your chart in a minute. If you want to look at it, you can, that's okay. But now remember, down here is, I'm going to just put us. Got it? Eternal in us. Everybody got that? Say amen. This cannot ever change. This will. This will change because it's not eternal. It's in time. Eternal will never change. Always was, always will be. And this is right here. I'm going to put this just for anywhere you see that right there. You see, everybody got that? Everybody see that dot? That's God. Everybody okay with that? And then this is us. every time I make a little red dot. Everybody got that? Because I want to tell you something. If you think you came here with something that somebody else didn't have, then God is not a respecter of persons. And he cannot judge the person that he didn't put here on earth with whatever you think you got when you got here on earth. That's why I ask you when you close your eyes. I ask you. You never made a mistake. You never done anything wrong. Baloney. So we change. We change our mind. He can't. Everybody got that? We can change our mind. He cannot. So here we go through here. Let's look. Number one. So remember, redemption is to bring back. Look, if we were right here, if we were in him, if we were thought of him, a thought of God before the foundation of the world, which we were, if we have eternal life, then whatever the fall caused, it brought it down through to here. Everybody got that? Because that's what the fall means. It was up here at one time. Can you pick that up for me? It was up here at one time, though, and it went down here. But now, God didn't come and redeem this. He redeemed what fell. Everybody got that? Redemption is not replacement. Amen? He didn't replace. Listen, that's what you got to look at what Brother Brown was talking about. He did not replace anything. He didn't say, well, no, I think I'll just wipe that off and I'll start back over here. No, that's where he started. That was his thought. His thought was eternal. It never can change, never will change. But as we were talking before, and we'll get into it later, he had attributes that couldn't be displayed if we stayed right here. Everybody got that? Because us is sick. Us is fallen. Us is born in sin, shaping in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Us have wrong ideas. Us came wrong to start with. He didn't. But whatever, if we started right here, Brother Chris, we got to get back to that spot. We got to get right here back to this spot. We're down here now. We're in life, time, and matter. We'll get into those dimensions later on, but I got to bring this out because that may be a question in your mind, and I know that 90% of the people in this message believe that we came here with this eternal something in us. You know what? You say, well, I got quotes. Well, I just quoted you two quotes that looked like they were totally opposite. Brother Brown said you always was eternal. He said right here in 1960 that your eternal life began at the altar. You say, oh, I always was a wheat germ. No, no, no. We fixing to read eight quotes where Brother Brown said, you were a cuckabur. And by the transforming power of God, he changed you into a wheat.
Right.
Now see, I like to think that. I don't like to think that I always was eternal, because if I was doing them things and I had eternal life in me, no, forget it, folks. Be sensible!
Right.
Be sensible! When I was out there laying it in sin, sure, God was right here. He never moved. He never blacked me out. Oh, hallelujah. But he knew I'd come back to that. But I wasn't there to begin with. Right here, I'm talking about right here. I was in eternity. But see, it took a prophet to tell us what the mind of God was talking about, not what we're talking about. Because right here, this was born in sin, shaping iniquity, espoused from a mother's womb, a liar. Brother Brown said he was lost. That's what he said. I was lost. He said, I used to, if you ever, see, you don't read all the quotes. You read the ones you want to read. Brother Brown said, I washed my car and watched people go to church on Sunday. Whew. A prophet. No, let me tell you something. Why didn't Paul, this is in my notes, I'm going to get to it right now. Why didn't Paul, just when he was, hey, listen, what was he doing? He was causing real, true believers to blaspheme, putting them in prison, and killing them. Now, how can something be eternal inside of Paul and let him do what he did? No way. Why did he go to Damascus and God had to knock him off of the horse? And he didn't look down and say, now, Paul, you always was eternal now. No, he said, Paul, you're blind. And I'm going to take you. What are you doing? What'd you do that for? Leave it right there. I'll get it later. No, he said, Paul, you're blind. You're persecuting me. And if me was in Paul, why was he doing it? No, but he had representation. He knew, God knew when he knocked Paul off the horse. He would change. But not right then. Bible says he went 3 days blind as a bat. And he said, I'm going to have somebody come pray for you. It's got the seed life inside of him. Now, why did he just say, Paul, now you always was eternal. Why in the world don't you just get up and go start preaching the gospel? That ain't the way God works, folks.
Right.
Right? I don't understand this when people say God's, Brother Bram said, we always were eternal. Yeah, eternal life always was, but I wasn't. Where are you going to put justification in this?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put sanctification where the unclean spirit goes out of you? Where? Out of your soul!
Right.
So you and God can't be a... Well, you. Satan and God can't be in your soul. See, you're almost two soul. That stupid doctrine, they said that Satan put a soul inside of you and God put a soul inside of you. Satan can't give you a soul.
Right.
He ain't a soul maker.
Right.
God is a soul maker and a soul destroyer. Satan can't even destroy your soul.
Right.
What'd the Bible say? Don't fear the one that can kill the body. You fear the one that can kill the soul. So we gotta keep it separate. If we don't keep it separate, I don't understand how that we can kick redemption totally out of the picture. Because the Bible says the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks to dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. Now, did you have an eternal something inside your soul at that time? No. Because the Bible says, I'm talking Bible. You say, well, I got quotes. If the quote don't match the Bible, he's wrong.
Yeah, right.
But he don't. You see how these other people have all these doctrines? Because they take quotes. And they don't put it with the Bible. And put the essence together. Brother Brown says, let's address, stand up and address the third person of the Trinity. Well, now, he wasn't a Trinitarian prophet. If we don't get these right, folks, people, we're going by the grave. If we don't get it right, you can have your idea for as long as you want to, but your idea, we're going to put you in the ground and say, we'll see you in the... I didn't want to say that. See you in the resurrection. But anyway, redemption is to bring back. Number one, redemption is the oldest thing in the Bible.
Right.
So what is redemption? Redemption is not just realizing you were, realize is bringing you back.
Right.
I realized I was lost. Redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Do you know redemption was ever before? The plan of redemption, look at me, was laid out before the foundation of the world. And if Bob Black was here, he'd tell you what that little dot right there is. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. That's why Genesis 1, 26, 27 is so important. If you can understand that, you can understand where you come from,
right,
what you're doing here, and where you're going.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
But I want you to remember, everybody says, no, after the seals broke, Brother Brown changes. No, show me.
Right.
Show me
right
where he changed. Future home. He says, I've preached the same three stages of grace from the time I was a little boy. Amen? And I have quotes here from 1964. But find me one quote where Brother Brown said, you didn't need salvation.
Right.
Find me one.
Right.
He might have said, you always was. He might have said all this. He might have said all that. You had this little germ of life inside of you. Show me one place where he said, well, you don't need salvation anymore. You just need to believe that. Ain't it happening?
Right.
You can't destroy the plan of salvation.
Glory.
Because the plan of salvation was before Brother Branham got here. And before you got here.
Right.
Before Adam got here.
Right.
Plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed. Think of that. God foreseeing. Now we're going to talk about it in a minute. Making a way of redemption before he even made the world. Because why? He knew we were going to come to right here. Because up here, when we get to glory, back to this spot right here, this future home, when we all get together in the future home, there's no sin, there's no sorrow, there's no shame, there's no agony, there's no virus, there's no lying, there's no stealing, there's no... You can see what I'm saying? But if you weren't here to begin with, you have nothing to go back to. Because redemption, remember, is not replacement. Redemption is bringing you back to where you began. Everybody got that? All right, let's read in 1 Corinthians. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Remember, God didn't need us. We need God.
Right.
And like Brother Dale said, God chose that he needed a body down here. God chose that we, the bride, when he said, let us make man, he couldn't take that back.
Right.
He had to produce this right here.
Right.
Amen? Everybody got that?
Amen.
All right. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, I thought we always was. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Everybody got that?
Right.
But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior.
Amen.
Now let's go to Ephesians 1. This is where let's read all of it. Well, you know this. Let's go to verse 4. According as he hath chosen what? Us in him. Hold on. Us in him. Before the foundation of the world. There we go back to that spot right there. We bring it right back to here. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of what? Sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's right now, folks, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have what? Obtained an inheritance. Obtained. We had to go get it. The Bible says after you heard the word of salvation, you received your new birth, in other words. After you heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing.
Right.
You had to hear the word before you can be born again. Why didn't Paul just, listen, Paul knew the Old Testament from kiver to kiver. Right? Why didn't he just all of a sudden, when God came to him, he just said, whoa, man, I'm this wonderful. 3 days he went blind. God let him chew on it for a little while. And then he said, no, Paul, I'm going to have to send somebody that's already in the body. Somebody that's born again. Ananias, remember Ananias had a little problem with it too, because Ananias said, I don't know if I want to touch that dude or not. He's killing us. But what did God say? God said, go on. He's my servant. I picked him. And then the Bible says his scales fell off of his eyes. And he received the Holy Ghost. Kind of simple. Revelation 13:8. All that dwell on earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now also remember, this is the book of life. Book of life eternal section. Everybody got that? Book of life eternal. Because there's many different stages of the book. Remember, when you come down here, even Brother Brown says, when you come into sanctification, we'll get to this later on, in sanctification, your name goes on the book of the believer. It's transferred. There is a book of life, and that's what's in Revelations 19 or 20, when the book is open, and all that are judged, they're judged out of that book of life. Normal life. You and I are already judged right here. We were judged before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Never to be judged again.
Glory.
Now you can hallelujah for that all you want to, because I believe that. Because your name's in that Lamb's Book of Life. You're right there.
Right.
And that's where you're going back to.
Right.
Right?
Right?
But you also were in a book down here when you became on this earth. There was a recording of what you were doing. When you become to the age of accountability, a tape recorder came on. And you know what? Until you're justified, that tape recorder stays on. And if you don't ever get that erased, you'll meet it over here on the white throne judgment.
Right.
But Brother Chris, if you come through justification, sanctification, and receive, be reborn. Reborn. Not born. This is born. This is reborn. Everybody got that?
Amen.
You need two births.
Yes.
Amen. You got to have a physical birth, but you got to have a spiritual birth.
Right.
Nicodemus, you must be born from above.
Right.
Oh, I need to go back and get in my mother's womb. He was down here.
Right.
Carnal mind. God was telling him, he said, what? You got to be born from where? Above.
Right.
Up here.
Right.
A spiritual birth.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Amen.
Number two. Prophet of God in Christ the Messenger said, he has showed or revealed in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had.
Right.
Now, what was that one goal? Get us back to right here. He knew we were going to fall. He knew we were going to fall. But he knew he was going to have fellowship with us again right here.
Right.
But if we stayed, like I said before, realize this. If he stayed right here, he would just be Father.
Right.
He came down here and became a son.
Right.
Son of man.
Right.
Flesh, like Brother Dale said. Then you and I became son of Samuel and Peggy Dale, or whoever your mom and daddy was, right? But that didn't negate this right here if you were right here. But look, you come down here and you go Savior, Healer, Redeemer, all in all, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon, Bright Morning Star. You see all these attributes that's eternal, but he had to do that down here with someone that's lost, as we read that quote that we'll read maybe if we get to it in Ephesian Church Age. To give him purpose, he had to let man come to flesh and fall. He had to let man come into human flesh and fall to have an eternal purpose, right, to get us back to right here. Listen, once Eve's womb was polluted with natural seed, everybody got that?
Yeah.
Now we're talking natural. Once her womb was polluted by natural seed, her spiritual womb up here was polluted,
right.
She couldn't get back to here.
Right.
We had to fall down here. That's why it's called the fall. One more time. We fell down to here. Now what are we doing? We're continuing on with life and we'll get to it, but we're going to come right back to there. Because redemption is not replacement.
Right.
It's bringing you back to where you were before.
Amen.
Real simple. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. All the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and showed it. Amen, I believe. Listen, we're living in an open book.
Amen.
But guys, brothers, sisters, believe me. Brother Brown didn't come to bring us eternal life.
Right.
He didn't come to bring us a message to tell us how to get eternal life at the beginning. It's always been in the Bible.
Right.
People were born again before the prophet got here. We know what his message was. His message was what? Go back in the mind of God. Seals open. When the seals open, the mind of God opened. Showed us right here who we were. So that this guy can be changed. Listen, by the new birth, we've been, since the 120 in the upper room, they've been changed in their soul. But they had to die and keep dying and keep dying because they didn't have all the Word of God. You and I now have all the Word of God to get us back to right there. Because of the opening of the seals. It gave us a chance to take on a new body. Not a new different one. This one made new. So, you can tell me all you want to that Brother Branham changed. He didn't ever change the Bible. He can't change the Bible. That's the same way with Daniel's 70 weeks. I'll contend anybody right now. The Bible says there's 1 week left after the rapture. I really don't care what nobody else says. I'll take what God says. But I know what Brother Adam was talking about. Maybe you don't. Because he can't change the Bible. Can't change the Bible. He shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he'll break the covenant. There's 1 week left after we leave here to finish Daniel's 70 weeks. So you're just not getting what he said. You know what it is? Last night, you know what? I was thinking of this and I was going through it. I was mulling over it. And just as plain as day, something spoke to me and said, there's that other spirit. Remember, I've been preaching on two spirits? Because any other spirit, contrary to what God's word is the other spirit. Oh, but I got quotes. Quotes will kill you. Didn't the Pharisees say, we got Moses, in other words, we got Moses' message. We got Moses' quote book. Jesus said, if you'd have known him, you'd have known me.
Right.
If you'd have known what he was saying, you'd know what I was saying.
Exactly right.
He came exactly as the word said and they killed him. Number three, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now God's great secret mystery. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it. What was a motive? To get us back. Through all of his attributes, get all of his attributes back to eternal. Because he knew we were going to fall. But he wasn't a savior right here. He's a savior when we come down to here. Amen? Everybody got that? Say amen. Alright? So in his great mind, number 103, these attributes to be expressed, and in him was love, and in him was, see, there's his attributes. Father, Son, Savior. In him was to be a healer. There had to be something lost to have a Savior. Not just you always was. We always was lost until God came into my life. I promise you that. Now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery, and that's what I want to speak on the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that it unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living in. Then you'll understand clearly, you see, I believe, what is being done. Revelation 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So here's heaven. Satan was right there when God said that, but Satan wasn't a part of that. Satan's not part of that Genesis 1:26. Come on, people, good grief. But he was standing there when God said, I'm going to have a group of people. They're my children.
Amen.
They're inside of me as attributes. You can't see them yet. Just like Daddy didn't see me until I was born. But see, God's not like that. Brother Chris, he knew everybody. I'll read you a quote in a minute where Brother Brown said, your hair color, what you look like, God knew it before the foundation of the world. Your natural life. He knew that. Revelation 12, verse 7, prevail not, neither was there place found in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan. He was cast out where? Into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. See, they fell first. They fell from their first estate, talking about Jude 1, verse 5, verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness that unto the judgment of the great day. So what happened? They all came down here. See, Satan can work his way back and forth. But he can't ever get to that. He can just get over into another dimension. Then he worked through 1, 2, 3, even 4. Amen? The devil can go right through that building if he wants to. But he come down here to what? Try to destroy us. To block us, because that's what he done. He blocked the spiritual womb and the physical womb. He blocked it from us going back to here. Or from any of these children to be born. Because God can't come through an unclean vessel. Everybody got that?
Amen.
That's why I said, the Bible tells us God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. I was unclean. Were you not? We all were. Everybody got that? All right, now let's read Genesis 1:26. We know what that is. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That was right here. Before he even put them in human flesh, that was right here. And he gave, and I'm, Lord forgive me, he gave Adam, we're going to put some hair in the dress on this one. He gave Adam and Eve dominion. She was in him, right? Then he put them 2-7. He put them together. Then he separated them, put him in flesh, then took a rib and put her in flesh. So there they stand. And it's still part of eternity because Brother Brown said time did not begin until the fall happened.
That's right.
All right? To me, that's just pretty sensible. So they were up here. They fell down past that line. Right? They fell. That's what you call it one more time. That's why they call it a fall. They fell. They fell down here to what? Die in humanity. But remember, before the world ever begun, there was a lamb slain already for them. There was a propitiation already made for them before God even literally ripped the skins off of the sheep and threw them in there and told them to put these on, right? Now Genesis 2:7 says, look, and Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. I like that. Then he planted a garden and told him, said, hey, till the garden. But what happened was Satan got involved and the beast got involved. We know what happened. Then they fell. They come down here into time. And look, he had the book with the names on it. Now you got to say, oh, well, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. But in symbolic, this is all the names that will ever be saved in the Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal section. Everybody got that? Got it? Adam was going to produce this with Eve by this. Spoken word. Not by literal seed like we're talking about. Because remember, why one more time, seed equals word. In God only, there's no other seed. The Bible says in, what is it, Colossians, where he says, not seeds of many, but one seed, which is Christ. And what is Christ? He's the Word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. Word was the God, and Word was God. Jim. I've got a big mark on the front of my plain little white coat here. All right. So now let's go to number 4. We start the fact that there are two seeds. There are two trees in the midst of the garden. Now what's a tree? A tree brings forth fruit, right? And in that fruit is seed. Everybody got that? Say amen. The tree of life was Jesus. The other tree is definitely Satan because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. Now then we know that both of these trees had a relationship to man. What? The tree of life would keep you up here. The tree of knowledge of good and evil would put you down here.
Yeah.
Everybody got that?
Right.
Amen? The problem is though, the tree of life can come down here and save us. The tree of knowledge of good and evil can't go back up that way. Because
right.
We were born off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'll bring you another quote next Sunday where Brother Brown said, you were born between Satan and Eve.
Right. Right.
You were.
Right.
Tell me how good you are.
Right.
Tell me how good, what all this great stuff you had inside of you. Oh, I got quotes. The Pharisees killed Jesus because of quotes. They did not realize the essence of that Old Testament was standing in human flesh in front of them. They read it by letter and they killed the very person that wrote it. Don't you think they're going to do the same thing today?
Right.
You're going to not be killed by how good or bad you are. You're going to be killed by what you stand for.
Right.
And I say that personally, or even like Brother Chris and I, you know, Brother Bram said, you can't, don't have to kill the man, you just kill his influence. And that kills the man. Okay? But it's like Brother Bram said, he says, I was lost. I was a cuckabur. I'm fixing to read it to you in just a minute. Oh no, that he had to be. I was always a wheat plant. Well, okay, hang on a minute. We'll see. Right here you were. But down here you weren't. To me, that's so very simple. That's so very simple. You were not born wheat in your natural life. But there was a representation of you right there that stayed there, stood there, did not move, but it met you down here in time. To me, that's just so... To me, that really makes the plan of salvation, it makes me love him more than for somebody just walk up and say, don't you realize you always were eternal? We were back there. Don't you just feel me and you were back there before the foundation of the world? No! I didn't know nothing until I was about 5 years old. Some of you might say 55 years old. Well, I'm 61 now, so I've known something for 6 years. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm 61, Michael. Now, we know that both of these trees have, that makes him old. Now, then we know both of these trees had a relationship to man, or they never would have been placed there. They must have had a part in, look, the sovereign plan and purpose of God. Sovereign. Nobody else is going to change it. God already had it worked out, knew that tree was going to be there, knew we were going to eat off of it. But he didn't make us eat off of it. We chose ourselves. And we can never impute omniscience unto God. This is all true so far, is it not? Now look. Now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God, look, was to share his eternal life with man.
Amen.
Now look, if man can't get it now, right here, after Adam and Eve, if man can't get it anymore, the book went back into the original owner's hand, the Genesis 1:26, the list of everybody that was to be bride went back to the hands of the eternal God. Because he couldn't trust it with me and you anymore. He couldn't trust it with Seth. He couldn't trust it with Enoch even. He couldn't trust it with these people down here. Remember, this is all substitute. This is all the blood of bulls and goats covered. Covered sin. This has no sin. So we were down here sinful. God capo or covered us until we what? Cried, Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy, I need you. And what responded? That right there. Because you was back there as the woman in the well. She was back there in that. Not as a person, not as a being. She was part of that eternal life. To me, that's just so simple. You know what, though? But it confounds people that say, oh, I got this quote right here. So? I can quote a lot of things. Brother Brown said, evil woman is not no more than a bullet to the head. You know what he said? Just telling you, I'm telling you, we can sit here and we can quote and quote and quote and quote and argue and argue and argue and argue. I don't argue anymore. This is the truth. I don't care. Nobody, you can bring it on. Bring it on. It better match the Word of God first. It better match the Word of God first. And go back to the saying, Brother Branham was a word prophet. He could not change the Bible. He only spoke to us the love letter. But remember, the love letter, he said, listen, the prophet of God said, now listen, if you're reading the love letter, it can't just be something different than what's above it and what's below it. It's got to be in continuity or the essence. Listen, the very reason we're having birthdays should tell you that we were born wrong. We ain't gonna that person never had a birthday. It always was. All right. Where am I at? Oh, go to Ephesians 1. Isn't that right? Yeah. According as he has chosen us, we read that before the foundation of the world. I'm sorry, maybe 4 o'clock. I'm sorry. But we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm trying as fast as I can. Brother Hal Thomas says I run out past him sometimes. I fly too fast. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, what? To himself. Now, wait a minute. Predestinated us unto adoption. Now, the word predestinate is predestined or predetermined destiny. Everybody got that? But the prophet of God said God did not put you in a tube and pulled you through that tube. That's predestined. Predetermined destination. I know you're going to preach on, you got to still do it. Best I ever heard on predestination, Brother Dale preached it several years ago. He said he was going to do it again. But remember, when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. For. F-O-R-E. Before. Having predestinated us before the foundation of the world, he predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Because remember, he's omniscient, omnipotent. He knows all things. He knew when he said, let us make man in our own image, where we'd have to come back to. There's not one person going to be saved that wasn't up there. Right? That's predestined. It's predestined because he saw your destiny. Because right here we go, foreknowledge. Let's go to this right here. Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. I can't hide it. Anyway, sorry. Pull it down here a little bit further, Brother Joe. Or Richard. Foreknowing. Before. We knew it. He knew it. For knowledge. Now let's read this quote right here. Smyrna Church Age. Everybody got it? Now then that we're coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, Brother Dale preaching on it this morning, and thereby gaining the title of Son, not making him another Son, gaining the title of Son, even so we, look, eternal, watch, eternal in his thoughts, not down here, eternal in his thoughts, right? Everybody got that? Eternal in his thoughts, in our turn. You had a turn. It wasn't just a blanket. As soon as you was born, you got eternal life. Wrong answer. Zach always says, wrong answer, Ghost Rider. That ain't going to work, because that ain't redemption. That's just saying you got it. You ain't got to do nothing. Eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many-membered what? Spoken word seed. Exactly. Not this guy. This is dead seed. Manifest in flesh, and those eternal thoughts, right here, those eternal thoughts, now being made manifest, because there was a man named Jesus came and paid the redemption price. Amen. So that we could get back to that, and that could what? Find us. Right. We didn't find him. He found us. Right. I'll raise my hand too, sister. Hallelujah. I'm glad he found me. Yeah. Manifest in flesh, and those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called. Look, we did not become seed by the rebirth. Look, it didn't change this right here. That stayed right there. Right. But see, people don't read the whole part. Right. We are seed, and therefore what? You had to do something. It didn't say, therefore you always were eternal. No, you had to be reborn. Exactly. By a new birth.
Right.
Consisting of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you were reborn. reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is a reason we could be quickened or reborn, but there had to be rebirth. In non-seed, look. What'd you do with my red ink pen? This is the billions of people on the earth today and has been since the foundation of the world. They never were right there. They were in the mind of God as a person, as an individual, as life. He gave them life, but He gave them a choice. But He knew their choice because of foreknowledge. Because of foreknowledge, He could look and see down through time who would and who wouldn't. These just came, and Brother Brown calls them cannon fodder. Now, I don't call them cannon fodder, but he did. Nothing but cannon fodder. I got to find my red ink pen somewhere. Oh, here it is. But that's the way you came. And then I read you the quote in the Bible. It says, we're in continuance. We came forth. In other words, he knew we were coming too. But we had to come down here and get in this mix. Well, where was our representation? Down here? Right here. You heard from your theophany. You heard from that eternal part. You didn't come down here. Look. You didn't come down here like this. That's your soul. Yeah, that gives you two souls. You were lost. Now, this found you because you were born. I'm going to put cucklebur because we're going to read where Brother Branham said you were a cucklebur. And he was a cucklebur. Now, what are you going to do with those quotes when you just say, oh, no, I always was. Yeah, you always, that seed always was. But you had to go by reborn. You had to go through a process of rebirth. Now let's go to number 5. Oh, wait a minute. What's this now? Y'all read these quotes up here and said, oh, I always was eternal. I always had this eternal seed in me, yada, yada, yada. But you didn't read this part. This is the next paragraph. Just one more, you know, kind of between the lines of the love letter you're supposed to read, that when you read it, that the top's supposed to compare with the next quote. Redeem. Now, why do we need redemption? If we didn't fall from somewhere, right. Hold this carefully in your mind. Now, take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by His death, the shed blood bought back His own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. They always were a sheep. Oh, wow, well, well, now, well, yeah, you always were a sheep. This was. This wasn't. Down here wasn't. This was always a sheep. You got to watch that where he says you. Because I'm going to tell you, I got you a million other places where you were a cucklebur. Right. Right. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That's because of this right here. Not this down here. Everybody got that? Yeah. Folks, we were lost. Right. Without salvation. Right. A cucklebur. Yeah. Doomed and on our way to hell. All right, let's go to the next quote, number 5. Okay, look. We'll cover this for just a few minutes. The word predestinate. That's not a good word to use. The word foreknowledge is better. Why? Because if you look and you say, you look up the word predestination, that means predetermined destiny. In other words, it's prearranged. You're going to take this destination and this is your end. Now see, God knows that. So it's not a bad word if you understand what you're talking about. But now, go, Lord, Brother Brown says, now the word foreknowledge is better. Because look. Foreknowledge. Now, what does destiny do, though? Predestination looks back. To foreknowledge. Because the Bible says those he foreknew. Look right here, those he foreknew. He did predestinate to come down here and take a journey. But knowing that one day this was going to change into a wheat. And then, you go right back to there. I'm just reading quotes. You figure out. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks to destination. But God not making set it in order a little hole that you have to go through. See, that's predetermined. Put you in a tube and say, all right, bro, Chris, this is... No, I told y'all before. God is so all-knowing, He knew who you, if you married another girl, what would happen? If you never got married, He knew what would happen. If you only... No, God only... No! Foreknowledge! He knew! We limit God so much. He's all-knowing. But He saw that you would want it so bad because what? The deep. Call to the deep. Because there was a deep to respond. I was lost. Why would I need to respond? I don't... Listen. At this point in your journey, if you're born again, your soul doesn't respond like that anymore. It always was eternal. Because it has come together in a union. Read God's power to transform. In a union, Brother Brown said, it's you and God now, and there's persons. And then I can say, that's where I came from. This is where I'm going. I mean, this is where I'm at, and that's back where I'm going to. Real simple. But God not making set in order a little hole that you have to go through and can't go no other way. See, He would be an unjust God to do that. He cannot judge you by making you do something. But God, in order to be God, He knowed the end from the beginning, so He had predicted it and set things in order to happen. By what? For knowledge. Now let's go to number 6, where I think Pentecost failed. Now the word is used here in the 5th verse of predestination. Predestinated. It's not a very good word for an evangelist or a minister to use because it's kind of confusing people when you say predestinate. Look. Predestination speaks, looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge looks to destination. Predestination goes way back to foreknowledge. Right here. The mind of God. Predestination goes back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes to destination. In other words, God didn't say, now, I'll make this man be this. See, He can't be a righteous judge if He said, I'm going to make Chris lost. And I'm going to make way saved. He can't judge him for being lost. All you got to do is look at God and say, you made me this way. You made me this way. You made me do that. But no, you can't do that. We're all born free moral agents. Even after you're born again, you still got free moral agency. I'll make this man to be that. But in order to be God, He had to know the end from the beginning. So in order to foreknowledge that He knew, He could say this would happen and that would happen. Because He's God and knowed where everything would be placed. And therefore He could ordain certain things for certain ages. That's why He ordained us to be in this age. Another age couldn't take what we're taking. Another age couldn't take the word like we're taking the word. Brother Brown preached a countdown. We're astronauts. We're pressurized more than anybody else is. And you say, boy, that ain't him picking one over another one. He just knew by foreknowledge you'd make it in this age. And somebody else would not. That's truly scripture. All right, let's continue reading. Number 7. Everybody all right for a minute? I know it's at 3:30, but you know what? Sit and watch a movie for longer than this. Watch this now. Listen to this. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. This is 1960 now. I mean election. Election looks back to foreknowledge, and predestination looks to destiny. Don't forget that. That election looks back here. Here it is. I was a cuckabur. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, born amongst sinners, father and mother and all my whole family, sinners. I was a cuckabur. But all of a sudden, raise it on up there, I was a what? I was a what? Huh? But all of a sudden, I became a wheat germ. How did it happen? That's what is that? Election. God, before the foundation of the world, what? Elected that this cuckabur, he knew I was going to be this. But he knew I'd want to be that. And he put it right there. Amen. And he can't change it. Can't change God's mind. God, before the foundation of the world, elected that the cuckabur was to become a grain of wheat. Now, I know I'm a grain of wheat because I'm saved. I've been reborn. How do I do it? Look back and see that he predestinated it a long time ago. By foreknowledge, he seen that I would love him. So he made a propitiation through his own son that through him I might become from a cuckabur to a grain of wheat. Now, where am I at now? I'm saved. Now listen, the wheat always was a wheat because it was right here. But remember, we had a fall down here that put us down this way. And we were cuckabirs. We were born wrong. Everybody okay with that? My father and mother and whole family. How could he say that? That'd be kind of hard. But he said, all my family were drunks. Wow. Look at number 8. Questions and answers. This is 1964 after the seals. For those of you that need that. How can I take a cuckabur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. Reading the quote. It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that cuckabur has been transmitted from a cuckabur wheat. A cuckabur to a germ called wheat life. Wait a minute. Inside it has been transmitted. We receive eternal life. Then you bury that cuckabur and it'll produce a grain of wheat. Because there has been a life of wheat put in that cuckabur. Everybody all right with that? I'm just reading quotes. After the seals, for those of you that need that. Because there's been a life of wheat put in the cuckabur. And the life of the cuckabur has been taken out. But watch, hold on, he's not done yet. But the nature of the cuckabur is still sticky. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes forth, then it's no more cuckabur. He's talking about this guy right here now. Because watch it. When it comes forth, then it's no more cuckabur but wheat. But wheat. But while it's here on earth and in the out of the earth and a cuckabur, it's still sticky. But it's got the nature on the inside of it of wheat. As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Because you can't deny that you were born a human. You can't deny you were born lost. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all that cuckabur goes away. Because remember, you weren't a cuckabur right here. And when that thing bursts forth, it does away with that. And it puts you right back around. Right back where God's thought of you to start with. And guess what you done? You picked up a flesh body. During that whole journey, you picked up a flesh body. Just like he did. God was right here, no flesh body. He had to come down here and get a flesh body. To die. And when he died, he took us right back to there. All the sin is gone. That's the thing. I love that quote there. Number 9, the token. Keep going. I want to read just the red part. The Bible said, he that's born of God, just roll it back down, sorry, just let me read that whole paragraph. The Bible said, he that's born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. For the seed of God, what? What don't sin? The inside guy. The wheat guy. Kuckleberry guy still does, remember, he's sticky. But the inside, the wheat guy, he don't sin. He's that Genesis 1:26 man. That's going to carry us back to eternal life. In body, spirit, and soul. The seed of God remains in him. And how can he sin when the sinless God is in him? When he's in a sinless God, how can he sin? No matter what he's done, the blood's covered him. See, he's a new creature. Our creation. His desires and ambitions is of heaven. It was not when you were growing up and doing the things of the world. You weren't thinking about heaven. You might have thought you were in heaven for some of the things that you did. But it was what? Brother Brown said, oh, that woman, you know, hold the beer bottle up and said, this is life. He said she didn't know that the very thing she called life was going to kill her. His desires and ambitions is of heaven because he's changed. Oh, here it is again. From a kookaburra to a wheat. His desires ain't the same as they once was. And he displays it. Go to the next one, number 10. But what is it? What we are? It's 1961. We are now wheat, a grain of wheat in God's garner when we was a kookaburra. And God changed us from a kookaburra to a grain of wheat. It makes the fruits different. Changing your own mind, your own ideas. It's the greatest miracle that ever happened. The greatest miracle, brother, is that you have been changed from the inside. And God came down and gave you eternal life. And you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Just listen, if I'm wrong, leave me alone. I like this. Because I can love him more if I knew he saved me from that junk I was in than to just tell me I always was something and I was this special person. Yeah, and listen, folks, please. In God, you were a special person. I believe from the day you were born, you had a special angel to watch over you because you know what? Satan wanted to kill you every second. But there was an anointing over you that God knew by foreknowledge. He had to let you get to 38 years old. Look at me, 38 years old. I wandered in the wilderness of sin for 38 years. But he knew one day he would call and I'd answer. And I'd hear from that right there. Now you can leave me alone. I like that. That he thought enough of me to save me. Not just tell me I always was something. But now listen. But being born again and coming to adoption, we look back into the mind of God and we see that that's where we came from. We see that that's what God done. But it doesn't negate or do away with the plan. When a man or woman is born again of the Spirit of God, it becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Number 11. Just read the red. Just for sake of time. I was a kookaburra. And he made a wheat out of me. I don't know how it ever come. I said, how could it ever be? He threw up his hands one day, wherever it was, on the railroad track or out in the hog pen or wherever he was. And he said, Lord, I'm done. God had to save a prophet? Uh-huh. God had to save Paul, didn't he? So God had to save William Marion Branham, too. He was lost. Boy, people don't like that. But let's go to the next one. We're going to read this one, then we'll stop. We're going to talk a minute about representation, because you know what? This is where I'm... If you're born again, everybody that's born again is represented right here. Book of life, eternal section, Genesis 1:26, man. Seed of God, Word of God, attribute of God, Son of God, always was eternal, never had a beginning, never had an end, never sinned, never was lost. We got lost down here in the Kookaburra part. But God came down in the Kookaburra part and brought us back to... Brother Dale read it this morning. By the ministry of what? Reconciliation. He reconciled us back to Christ, not to tell us we always was. Until you get born again and start looking and saying, oh, because Brother Brandon will tell you, he said, don't you remember when you were a young person and all your other buddies wanted to go out? And I do. I joined in the gang sometimes, but sometimes I didn't. And it was because I think the little angel said, now if you go out there, buddy, you're in trouble. So I'd stay home. Or I'd quit doing something. Brother Brown said, you remember, you know, they wanted to go smoke or go drink or do something. He said, there's always a little something inside of you that said, don't do that. Right. Now listen, that was God. But you know what that was? That was because of this right here. Not because it was in here. I was hearing from something up here. I was hearing from that angel that was given me that come from God and was not fallen, that other angel, folks. If you don't like it, you just, Brother Dale said, put it in your pocket and sit down on top of it. There's another one sitting on this shoulder. One of them fallen ones are sitting over here on this side going, go ahead. It's okay. How many times have you went down the road? How many times have you got out of a car and found out your buddy had a wreck? I've never happened to me, but I've known a few people to do that and it really tore them up bad. But see, that's God guiding us. That I believe. But that didn't make me wheat.
Right.
That gave me representation that I was going to become wheat down here. Because of this right here. Everybody goes to the little woman at the well. I'm going to ask you a question before we go down here. before we go down this road. How in the world? Now the Bible says, here's the Bible. Everybody wake up and listen for a minute. You've been doing pretty good today. The Bible says, now listen to me, that we were born in sin, right? Shaping in iniquity. And the Bible tells us that until the day of Pentecost, I believe it's John 5, said the Holy Ghost had not been given yet. Does everybody understand that? Because Jesus had the Holy Ghost inside of him. He was the only one that had it. Nobody in the Old Testament had it. We'll cover that later, but let's get down to Jesus. He had eternal life in his soul. He was the soul of eternal life. Everybody got that?
Amen.
But it was encapsulated in that body and couldn't get out. Remember, Jesus didn't save one person on this earth while he was on earth. Wow. Tell me one. You say, oh, the woman at the well, Brother Bram said, she got eternal life. Folks, that's another thing I'm telling you. The Bible says nobody got eternal life until Jesus died. You can't tell me a prostitute got eternal life before the 12 disciples did. But you got to understand what he's saying. She had representation. I believe she went to the upper room. I believe she was one of the ones in the upper room. That's what I believe. Because I don't believe she wasn't no daughter of a God standing in front of Jesus that day. She couldn't get eternal life. He had it inside of him. But remember, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't receive it, Brother Brown said. That was a what?
Promise.
A few days later, on the day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Ghost came and went inside their soul, birthed the kookaburra out, and put the wheat in. But no, look, this little woman had nothing to present. She was as filthy and as dirty as she could be. That's me. But notice, way down in her, she's got representation. Where? Way down in her. Where? It wasn't eternal life in a place, because she couldn't get it in her soul. She had representation right here. Actually, she was standing in front of her reputation, her representation. She was standing because you know what Jesus said? Watch. He said, oh, wait a minute. What was her representation? Look, and then she was looking for this to be made flesh. She might have been a prostitute, but somewhere she read a Bible. Remember Brother Branham said Mary would sit on her mother's knee and she would read to him Isaiah, where a virgin shall conceive? Because look, she's going to respond by what she heard previously. Because remember, look, what is this right here? Seed is word. All right, everybody got that? Way down in her, she got representation, see, and then she was looking for this to be made flesh. When he said, go get your husband and come here, she said, sir, I have none. Said, you've said the truth. Because you got five and the one you have now is not yours. You've had five, that makes six you had. She said, sir, not your Beelzebub. I perceive that you are a prophet. Now we know. She wasn't a bumbling idiot. She had studied the scripture. Somebody had read to her the Old Testament. Somebody had given her what? A seed word. Somebody had planted a seed in her. And she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now we know the Messiah, which is called the Christ, will come. And when he does, he'll do this. What was the response? Was what she had heard. The word that was planted in her heart, not an eternal place in her soul. Sorry. He said, I'm he. Now look, because she said what she said, she had representation. No more doubt. You didn't have to explain it. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her. Potentially. But that was her road. She had thrown her sins away, her water pot down, and run into the city and said, come see a man. Now watch, he came to be a redeemer. Is that right? What does redeem mean? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. He wasn't right there. But she was. What does redeem mean? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. See, he had no representation. He came to redeem that which had what? Fallen. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world, and he came to cleanse her. Then she had eternal life. Where the priest, what did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin. Only intellectual learning. Now listen, friends, if the only thing you've got is just quotes, you get something different from that. And you'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. You'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. Now let me read this one and we'll stop right here. Proving his word. 1964. He said, salvation is of the Jew, woman. We know what we're talking about, he said. You worship, you don't know what. A Jew's supposed to know the word, see, how it was supposed to be. But see, he was watching now. Why? What is he going to do? Prove his word. He said, by the way, you go get your husband and come here. Roll on up, please. I know y'all working overtime. I'm sorry. By the way, go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any husband. First thing she done was she didn't lie to the Lord. She approached him the right way. She could have said, bless God, I'm married. Always was. No, I don't have any husband. Why? He said, you've told the truth, see, because you've had five and the one you have now is not your husband. See, watch. Something happened. Something took life. Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with, in where? In the seed word. The word she heard. The word she heard. If it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't have had what? Representation from predestination.
Amen.
It had never took hold. She had representation from right here. The priest lived a life down here and never had representation up here because God knew they would continue to be cuckabers and deny the very word of God. But he knew she was sorry for what she had done. She had been taught wrong or something had happened, but she had read enough of the word. That's where the seed lays, folks. The seed don't lay in you. The seed lays in that word right there. Because the word is a seed and the seed is the word. You love the Lord? I got a bunch more, but we'll stop right here. Musicians, come. But that's what we're going to be talking about, because we're going to bring some more quotes and things from the prophet. And like I said before, you can quote all you want to, but see, the thing I see is if we're not right, we're wrong. That's just the way it is. I'll get it, buddy. You stay right there. If we're not right, we're wrong. Brother Ray, we just, one way or the other. Thank you, Brother Richard. Just lay it in there because I'll probably need it next week. But I want you to understand, I've heard ever since I come back in this message, and thank God for a preacher that don't preach that stuff. There we go. Thank you. But you know what? It's so close if you don't have somebody to separate it and break it apart and break it down like Brother Dale did a long time ago and now. Then I wouldn't understand it. I just say, oh, really? I always was eternal. No, I always was because I was in the mind of God. I always was. Listen, this is where you get your eternal life.
Right.
From right here. And you continue to grow because of right here.
Amen.
And this was not in me when I was out there doing the things I was doing.
Amen.
Neither was it in you. Just quit denying what you were.
Right.
I was a cuckabur. The prophet of God said he was a cuckabur.
Right.
We were all born cuckabers. Anybody that was born of a man and a woman is a cuckabur.
Right.
But you had representation. If you came to it one day, you already had that representation. And that representation, remember I told you, Adam had to give the book back to the original owner, right? Christ himself. Amen? But what did he do with it? He didn't keep it up here. He brought it down here and started writing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then he what? Then this book was made flesh. Like he wanted it, Brother Chris, before the foundation of the world. He wanted this right here to be flesh. A body thou hast prepared me. Brother Dale stopped. He needs to read that next one. It says, lo, in the volume of the book I come. This book right here. This book was before the foundation of the world. It had your name in it. Brother John, it had your name in it. It had my name in it. But it was hidden since the foundation of the world. Only to be revealed when I responded that day when I was right here and wanted God to forgive me of my sins because I knew I was lost. I knew I needed salvation. I knew, Brother Chris, I needed justified. I needed sanctified. And I needed God to burn that cuckabur out of me and put something inside of me. And what did I look to? You said, no, I look to Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is what?
Word.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This word now is being made flesh and dwelling among us. No difference except that you were born wrong. And he was born right. That's the only difference between us and Jesus Christ. He was born right and we were born wrong. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Thank you for listening. But a body thou hast prepared me. That's what it was. But he allowed mom and dad to bring your natural body here because he couldn't anymore. And I want to ask you one more question. Wasn't Mary Magdalene, wasn't Mary the mother of Jesus? The Bible says she had to go to the upper room and get born again, right? Why didn't she need to do that? She had something inside of her that was... No, she was still a cucklebur. She had to receive seed. She had to receive. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Sure, the natural part came. But then she had to go to the Pentecost, to the upper room, to receive what she had birthed. But not the natural person. The spirit that was inside that person. She received the new birth. They didn't 120 of them stand up and say, oh, we always was. This is it. We always was. No. No. Peter said, this is that, though. Because where'd he go to? He went right back to here. Book of Joel, he said, this is that. That I'll come and pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we're going to be signs and wonders being happening. And they burst out that door and they didn't care who bothered them or who wanted to kill them. Brother Chris, they didn't care. I wish sometimes we get to where we don't care what the world thinks about us. I don't care what nobody thinks about me. As long as I can stay right here. As long as I can stay right here, this is my shelter. This is your shelter and you need to believe that. This is your shelter. This message of the hour and this Bible is just like I've got it in there. It's all in there together. There's nothing outside that this wonderful prophet brought us. It can't be different than what this is. It's got to be out of right here. And it is. But you got to pray about it, folks. You can't just run wild. That woman at the well waited long enough to where she said, like Hattie Wright, she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. Come see a man that's told me all these things. Aren't we looking for him? And I believe it changed her. I don't think she even went back to that husband again. I believe she said, forget it. I'm going to follow this. And she heard about somebody going in the upper room and she said, I'm going too. Because she had representation. And that representation, Brother Ray, where did it meet them at? It met them in that upper room. Because there come a sound like a rushing mighty wind. And it what? Filled all the people that were there. They weren't full yet. The Bible said it filled them. Let's get a filling today. God bless you. Let's sing a song. 281? 381. 381. Let's worship just for a moment.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know. I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will
her
I
going
do?
To the doctor on Tuesday. They're going to have to put her to sleep and do some work on her mouth. So we're going to pray right here. Everybody pray with us. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would, as this prayer cloth is laid on our little granddaughter, Lord, that everything will be done for your honor and glory, and she'll come out of it just fine, and everything will be well, and nothing will bother anymore, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these things, that we're able to do this, Lord, to bow our heads, Lord, with this little cloth in our hand, Lord, that we represent, Lord, you, Father, as going to the little child, and her, she'll be healed, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. No, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting.
Why are they shouting? Because they once were a cup of earth, and now I've been transformed.
Feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
You know that the plan of redemption to me is just, it's perfect because God thought of it. Amen? Amen. So why do we want to mess with it?
Right.
We were lost. Somebody had to come and redeem us out of the pawn shop.
Amen.
I was dead. I was a cuckabur. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I could read it in the Bible that I was contrary to everything that was in his Bible. I was doing it contrary, right? Right? But what about the transforming power of Jesus Christ that'll make you a wheat? Put that wheat life inside of you, and it doesn't matter. It's like Brother Brown said, it doesn't matter if you see the cuckabur hull. If God's put wheat inside of there, when you put it in the ground, what a surprise the farmer will get when it comes up and it's wheat. Amen? That's what the Bible says. You look like, now John, you still look just like you did before now. I know you don't do things you used to, but you still, I don't know about that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Listen, we put many shells of cuckabirds in the ground, but they got that wheat germ in them. They'll come forth because they had representation. The ones that didn't have representation, they're going to have to stay in their place, in their dimension, for at least another 1,000 years, but not me and you. That spot of that Genesis 1:26 man, this world is not my home. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, the Bible tells us that we're now sitting in heavenly places. Do you know if you're born again, your soul's in another dimension? God comes in, gives you the new birth, never tears a thing. Never has to cut you open to get, right? But what does he change? You know what the first thing he changed me? He changed my thoughts. Because see, my thoughts of drinking beer and saying bad words, it just, Brother Michael, it just, like a 4-inch tube, it just went whoop. But when I got born again, Brother Chris, that part of me, that cuckabur part, don't bother me no more. That doesn't bother me. Sure, now listen. Some of you young ones say, well, no, you mean you never have trouble at all? No. You're going to have worse trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to have something to fight it with.
Right.
You're going to have a wheat life to fight it with. Because listen, a cuckabur fights a cuckabur. A cuckabur can't fight a wheat. That wheat germ will win every single time. Because that's what God did. Because you, mom and daddy, did this and put you in this body. But see, God knew that. Sister Kathy, he knew right where you'd be. He knew right where Mary would be. All your children, he knew right where they'd be. And one day when they cry out to God, it's going to meet what God saw before the foundation of the world. And then you're going to see the transforming power of God. Will transform you from a cuckabur. Like I said though, you're going to look shell, in your shell, you're going to be a cuckabur. Cause that's the way you were born. Can't deny that. When you came born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You had to stay that on the outside, Sister Alicia. But on the inside, I see a wheat. Cause it will bear the fruits of that wheat germ that's inside of you. You might look, that's why you and I, listen, read a paradox. A paradox is looking at something, saying that's nothing but a cuckabur, but it being eternal son and daughter of God.
Right.
What a paradox. The world can't see that.
Right.
Now, we show as an outward expression, but sometimes they'll go, "Nah, I don't know about that." Yeah? There's wheat inside here. Because you're sitting here today proves your wheat. Comes in here and sit and listen for an hour and a half and listen to us just, you know, we don't get excited and run the benches and I wish we could, but one day we will. Because one day you'll realize. Listen, one more thing before we go. I promise you, you are special. It's like Sister Cleta and I were talking. You know, Brother Brown said, he said, God's a segregationist. Now, he was preaching this in the 60s, and that was kind of hard for a man to say out in the, you know, in the audience when there was the black and white segregation going on. He said, no, God's a segregationist. He said, he told you to come out of her, my people. He told you not to stay a cuckabur. He told you not to stay in this and not, he told the children of Israel, don't you marry nowhere but inside. Well, what's the first thing he did? Once they started marrying outside, God left them. He had to put them away because they didn't do what he said. But you and I, please be born again. Please know that you know that you know that you got the new birth. And when you do, then you're a wheat. And you can't, and listen, you can't change the mind of God. You gotta go back to that. Your journey down here may be cuckabirds all over. But if you know that you know that you know that you're wheat inside, when you come up, if we have to put you in the ground or if I have to be put in the ground, go downstairs and look at them 18-year-olds that we saw that 80 years old. Brother Tatum couldn't even pick up nothing. I can't do my fingers like his were. You know why? That's because of the cuckabur on the outside. But his fingers were way down here because of arthritis. I'll never see that again. I'll never see Brother Mo bent over. I'll never see Brother George Canada walking in like, that's over.
Amen.
That's done for.
Amen.
That cuckabur has been put in the ground and going to come back a wheat because if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken that wheat germ that had to go in the ground because of death. Christians don't die. We don't die. No way. We don't die. We just move over into another dimension and let this cuckabur life just keep going this way. But when we step back into this dimension, no more cuckabur. All wheat germ. But some of us, by the transforming power of God and by the opening of the seals, as Brother Chris was talking about, we're going to get a change of the cuckabur right here. Standing here, Abraham didn't have to go in another dimension to get a body change, did he? God just changed him one night, and next morning he woke up and said, whoa! I'm in the bed with the wrong woman. She's going to look over and she said, where'd Abraham go? No, they knew God had visited them.
Right.
And he said, I'll visit you in the time of life, and he said, you'll produce a son. You know what? Abraham just went to bed and said, be it unto me. According to thy word. And Sarah said, hallelujah. That's the simple faith that me and you gotta have.
Right.
For this virus, for anything. Just say, God, you said it.
Right.
You visited me. Listen, when you got the new birth, you were visited by God.
Right.
Not by a second person. He didn't send a messenger. When he brought the new birth, he brought that thing himself.
Amen.
He didn't send, he might have given you an angel to be with you during your life, but when he gave you the new birth, that was him. I don't think he gave it to nobody else to do but himself. Because he said, I'm going to send you a comforter,
right,
which is the Holy Ghost, which I'm going to send in my name.
Lord, amen.
I ain't going to send it in nobody's name. Because they can't nobody change your cuckabird nature, but the guy that made the wheat. And the God that made you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us for this journey, Lord. And that we'll come back together on Wednesday night, Lord, Brother Bob. I'm sure he's traveling now from Sweetwater. We pray that you'd help him, Lord, with the journey there being cold and rainy. And same way with Brother Luis, Lord, we pray that you'd get them back safely. Be with the ones that are not with us, Lord, the ones that are sick, the ones that are at home, Lord. We pray that now that that you'll help each one of us as we come together, Lord. Now we've opened up the top, Lord, for people to come in and worship. We're still taking precautions, Lord, because we're still a cuckabur on the outside. But, Lord, we've got to believe that that transforming power
of that wheat germ will cover us, Lord. Because you came and by your stripes we were healed. By your suffering on Calvary, by you taking the nails and the scars, Lord, you took every disease ever on the face of this earth that is now here or to come, and you wrapped them up all in yourself and you said it is finished. Father, then you came back on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost to clean the soul out of man. Lord, it was dark and dirty and dingy and cloudy all the way from Adam to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the time that you cleaned this old vessel up, Lord. I hope everybody will go home and sit in their favorite chair and they'll think of what you have done for them.
Glory.
That you saved them from a life of sin. Not to just make me something special or someone else, Lord, but you're the special one. And when you come inside of me, Lord, then that makes me special because of you. Not because of anything else, but because of you, Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And we thank you for coming and giving us that, Lord, a little part of eternal life, Lord. And now we pray that you'd be with us on the highways, be with each one, Lord, as we go do our jobs and different things, Lord, that you'll sanctify us for this journey. Be with Brother Dale, Lord, and heal those things on his face and the bruises and all, Lord, to have no problems with that. Lord, we pray, Lord, and thank you for keeping each one of us, Lord. The angels are encamped around us. We just can't see them. But, Lord, we know in the times of our life that we've needed you, Lord, you've been right there for us. We pray that you'd bless us now and take care of us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.